Why stand ye here all the day idle? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're blessed today in the hearing of this parable of Jesus, and it gives us instruction on the kingdom of God. Perhaps we might take some joy in hearing that the Lord invites, we understand him as the represented by the owner of the vineyard, that the Lord has invited us into his vineyard by our conversions, our baptisms, by our faith in him. We are blessed to be invited to do the work of God in his vineyard, in his kingdom. And so this is a great privilege to us because essentially the Lord is inviting us to do work in the great, to participate in the great work of redemption. What an honor that is. Now, I think that, there are many that would get a little bit hesitant about the idea of, doing work and how does that relate to our salvation and so on. But we understand very clearly that Jesus is the only one that can save us. We are saved by his blood sacrifice on the cross and by his saving ministry. That's how we win eternal life. But to come into the Lord's work, that is a privilege now where once we have converted to Christ, we then obey his commandments, and that involves some work. If you're going to love others, well, there are the corporal acts of mercy and the spiritual acts of mercy, and loving others requires some action. We would call those good works. Not that we're saved by them, but we do understand that we are saved to good works, and that as a Christian, we're not to stand idle. We are to do those things that are loving. Well, so much of the things that we expend effort on in this life really come to nothing. Maybe in our youth we really rallied and did great things to accomplish some kind of prize, but now that trophy is in the dustbin. Like the futility of the awards that St. Paul alludes to in the epistle lesson. They do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we have the opportunity to do the works of love, and love is the only thing that lasts. That is the gold that will survive the fire. These are the treasures that are stored up in heaven, where no moth or rust will corrupt it, and thieves will not break through and steal. And so let us aim for those things, doing the good work that Christ has called us to, and laboring in his kingdom, and not stand idle. We can also take instruction from this parable that the landowner comes into the marketplace to hire laborers, and of course he comes at different times of the day. So he starts off at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then every third hour he's coming back, even up to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. With the first group, he negotiates for 1 day's wage. So will you work the day for a day's wage? They agree with him on that. And then the others who come in, he says, I'll pay you what is right. Here we see the parable instructing us that different people at different times will come into the kingdom work. And I don't think there's any of us that would begrudge anybody coming in at the 11th hour. Does anybody here have a problem with that? If there's a deathbed conversion, for example, and somebody comes late into the kingdom, does that upset anybody here? I was very happy once to hear the account of a woman whose father was in a rest home, wasn't doing well, he was just into his 90s. So she bought him a radio, and he started listening to a Christian station. And he converted, and he changed. But for the first time, she saw something in her father that she'd never seen before. In all her life of knowing him, he had joy. And he began to tell others in the rest of them about Jesus, and he died soon after. Does anybody have grief with that? I wish there were more deathbed conversions, right? If we had a better harvest of people that haven't heard the gospel even until the eighth, decade or ninth decade. But perhaps there is something in this parable that might strike a little closer to home. And that is, the envy that is provoked by the landowner when he gives to those who have borne the burden and heat of the day the same wage as those who have come in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and worked in the cool for an hour and get the same wage. That's not fair. You can see the objection to that. It's not fair. And to that he gives the answer, is thine eye evil because I am good? Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? And so that's quite a rebuke. We might think about that. It might strike us if we, in our own hearts, are feeling a bit envious of others because they have some God-given talent. You know, it's not hard to find people that are smarter than we are, that are more successful than we are, that have better looks than we do, that have it all together, seemingly, not hard to find that. And if anything, we can take, the words of this gospel lesson to heart and hear God saying to us, what I have given to them is really none of your business. Right? We're not to spend waste our time comparing with, we can put it this way, positively, we can save a lot of angst and energy if we don't try and compare ourselves to others or compete with them, but instead come into the true dialogue, which is our life between us and God. That's where the freedom is. And this parable introduces us to that liberty. If we'll stop the sideways glance and the comparison and feeling, things are unfair, and simply come into that place of gratitude where we see that God is dealing with us as he sees fit. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Are we to judge God for what he does with his own? And so let us think on these things and practice to be content with what God has poured upon us. And I'll tell you, as a Christian, if you begin to explore what God has poured out for you, those blessings are, as we say in the Holy Communion service, innumerable. You'll never finish counting up your blessings. So let's stay on that vertical track with God and not compare ourselves with others. There is also we also see in this parable something that is upside down according to the ways of the world, in the way the landowner works with those whom he has hired. Because he does give a day's wage to everybody who came into the vineyard to work. And that's not what we would say is very good business management. Right? You don't want to see this as a template for how you organize your office. You might need to negotiate and be a little better than this one did. But what we do see here, there is some insight given by an author named Amy Jill Levine. She's a New Testament scholar, she's a Jewish woman that teaches at an evangelical seminary. And she points out that in this parable, Jesus brings forward the understanding that David established with his band when they were, before he was able to conquer the Jebusite fortress that became Jerusalem. He and his band were essentially raiders. And he established with them that it wasn't necessarily those in the fight that would get the biggest portion of loot, right? If they spoiled somebody in battle, then everybody that was with him would have a share. Even if you were just watching the baggage, your share would be the same as the one at the front of the fight. And that became, wisdom that was practiced in Israel. And this comes forward in this parable, she says. You can see it in the attention the landowner gives. His concern that everybody who's in the marketplace will have opportunity to work and be paid the daily wage, because that's right. The daily wage would be considered 3 to 6 days worth of food. What it essentially means is that everybody will eat. And so the one who has the charge of the vineyard, who has essentially the means of production and the wealth, his concern is for others, that they have enough to eat. But we could use a lot more of that in this world. And so that's something that that can also challenge us. If God has poured upon us blessings that go beyond what we need for our own sustenance, maybe we can be mindful of the needs of others and seek to create opportunities for them to work and be paid a living wage. Let's let everybody eat. In other words, this parable is a radical call to be like God in his generosity. Open-handed flow of what God has given to us to others. And so another invitation to participate in God's work. So today may we rejoice in the teaching that our Lord gives us in this parable, and may we seek to live it out in our own lives, that we may bring his love into the world and live out the gospel in our own time and place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.